The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio. I am your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Today's topic, as we roll through the offseason and wait for your New York Giants to open training camp late in July, is going to be the dwindling public access to training camps. Going to be joined momentarily by Lindsey Jones of The Athletic, who wrote about that topic recently for that fine subscription-only publication, which, by the way, I do encourage you to get a subscription to The Athletic. It's worth the investment, not simply for Giants coverage, but if you're a sports fan and you like reading things that aren't simply related to game results and box scores, The Athletic is a place where you can read that kind of material. Anyway, back to discussing training camp. Asked on Sunday at Big Blue View for readers to send stories and photos from past training camps that they had visited in places like Albany, Pace University back in the really older days, Fairfield University. Got some really interesting stories and photos in response. Posted those on Tuesday morning at Big Blue View. If you haven't had a chance to look at those, please do so. It's a really nice sort of stroll down memory lane and really points out the differences in what the NFL used to be and what training camp used to be versus what it is now. So I think it's a post you'll enjoy. It's one that I really enjoyed. I liked going through some of the stories from people, and it really was a stark reminder for me of how different things are today. All right, with that said, Giants fans, let me bring in Lindsey Jones of The Athletic, and we'll talk a little bit more about this topic.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, We provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Okay, Giants fans, I'm joined now by Lindsey Jones of The Athletic to talk about the dwindling training camp access for the public. Lindsey, thank you very much for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Ed.
Hey, Lindsey, before we get started, before we dive into it, just for folks who aren't really familiar with your work, why don't you give folks the quick synopsis of what you do for The Athletic and your background.
Yeah, for sure. So like you mentioned, I work for The Athletic. I'm on our national NFL desk, which means I kind of cover the league at large. League issues, trends, features, news, all sorts of kind of stuff, but I'm not tied to any one particular team. I'm based in Denver. I've covered the NFL since 2008. About half of that time, I spent covering the Denver Broncos for the Denver Post. And then I was at USA Today for about 6 years before I left for The Athletic last summer. So in my role at USA Today, I traveled a lot. I was a national NFL reporter. But being based in Denver, I've spent a lot of my time out west and Midwest. My training camp tours that I've done in recent years, I've done a lot of California, Ohio, Indianapolis, the kind of that part of the country, the South. I've done all of the Florida teams a bunch. I've kind of been covering the NFL a long time, and it's kind of been a fun new adventure at The Athletic trying to cover it in a different way than I was used to doing before.
All right, so let's get into this topic. Let's get into talking about NFL training camps. And I wanted to ask you, do you know offhand, or at least roughly, what the split is these days between teams that stay, in their own facilities or teams that still travel?
It's the majority now that have moved back to their home facilities. The number of teams that that go away for camp is dwindling. And several of the teams that still go away, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, for example, they have expiring contracts with those places. The Chiefs go to Oxnard, California, which is kind of at the very northern end of what you could kind of consider the LA metro area. It's kind of near Ventura. And the Chiefs go to St. Joseph, Missouri, which is about an hour-ish north of Kansas City. The expectation is they won't have those agreements that much longer, and they'll be going back to their home facilities. I believe that the Panthers still go to Spartanburg. The Steelers obviously go to Latrobe. The Bills go to college in Rochester. So there are a number of teams that still do it, but the vast majority have moved back to their home facilities for a lot of reasons. Financially is a big part of it. It's a lot cheaper, obviously, to stay at home. And then they kind of have the comforts and the luxuries at home. So even though they might be at their home facility, they'll still put the guys up in a hotel. So they kind of have this, quote unquote camp feeling, but they're still, they're in their home locker room. They have their training room. They have their training table where they have their cafeteria and their chefs and all of the catered stuff that they need to have there. They have their super state of the art weight rooms and the massage tables and they have all of the things that they want to have at home. That's so hard to have when you go on the road. So that's kind of why it's happened. And I get it from a football standpoint. I certainly get it. I don't know if it's necessarily the best thing for fans, though, which is kind of what I wrote about last week. And I'm guessing what we're going to talk about here today.
Yeah, it is basically. And like you, I get it. I think we were talking before we started. I'm a little bit older than you are. And it just feels like, it's certainly understandable, but it feels like, part of an era. Maybe the charm of what used to be the NFL or the charm of the beginning of the season, is going away as these teams, stay home more and more. I know the Giants, for example, they still have, I think this year they've scheduled 10 free public practices, but these facilities aren't built to be fan friendly. So it's not the charm of going to a college or going someplace like it used to be where guys would stay for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it definitely has changed. And, you know, and it's really, it's interesting. You look around the, you know, the entire NFL landscape, and every team does it a little bit differently. I mean, there's some places that are still very, very fan friendly. A team, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are an example of this, where they train at home at their home facility, but they, in recent years, they've actually gone out and bought up land adjacent to their facility to build extra practice fields for parking, for fans to have area, you know, specifically for training camp to make it fan friendly. The Minnesota Vikings, they are now back at home. They used to train up at, I believe it was St. Olaf's College. They used to be, you know, so they've very recently, I believe it was even last year, was the first year that they moved back down to Eden Prairie, where they opened this gorgeous new training facility where they actually have kind of a small stadium on site. But they have made it pretty fan friendly, where there's tons of seating. It's kind of bleacher style seating, but they also basically kind of make it like a mini state fair. You know, they bring in rides and food trucks. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to the Minnesota State Fair. I've never actually been, but it looks phenomenal. I mean, the food and games and stuff. So they've really catered it now towards families. So there's some places, and, you know, here in Denver where I live, they have 19 open practices this year, which is pretty incredible. They just did a lot of renovations and new construction over probably the last 5 to 7 years to make it more fan friendly. They've expanded the seating for training camp. And they also do the, you know, bringing in food trucks and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's some places that are still doing it really well. And then there's some places that are, you know, keep tightening it down more and more and more and more, where, and the Eagles are kind of the very extreme example of that, where, you know, now that they're back at their training facility in Philadelphia, it's a pretty small facility. There's no extra seating area around their field at the NovaCare complex. And now they only have one practice that fans can attend, and they're charging for it. And yes, the money is going to charity, which that's certainly commendable. It's going to an autism charity that is, you know, something that's very, very important to the Lurie family. But that's making it extremely exclusive. When you go to a practice at a stadium, like you're going into CenturyLink Field is in Seattle, but if you're going into Lincoln Financial Field, it's not intimate. You don't get that kind of special training camp feeling that you get when you're standing out on the side of the practice fields watching the Giants practice. You're sitting in this big grassy berm in Denver watching the Broncos, or kind of lined up against a fence in Oxnard watching the Cowboys. It's a completely different feeling. And it's really too bad that the Eagles, who are, you know, have one of the most rabid fan bases in the NFL, haven't found a better way to make their camp a little bit more accessible to people who couldn't regularly go attend to their games.
Well, I have to say this. From a site that covers the Giants, you're getting no sympathy for Eagles fans. None. That's not happening. So let me ask you this, Lindsay. You know, I kind of trace this to the lack of, you know, full two-a-days, to the new CBA. I mean, is that more or less when you think this, you know, as a trend, you know, really, really came about? I mean, I certainly understand it, but I think that's really the main genesis of it.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. I've been talking to my editors and one of our other kind of national NFL reporters about this a little bit, as something to kind of report out a little bit further. But if you look back to when the current CBA, that was 2011, and that was all happening, the negotiations were happening kind of during training camp time, and it was really in flux. Like, we didn't know when camp was going to start, if camp was going to happen, the off season was a mess. So, you know, I think that was kind of a turning point in, you know, just logistically, you know, figuring out what training camps are going to look like. And that was a really big, a substantial change in what the function of training camp, you know, what training camp actually looks like. You know, for years and years and years, you know, training camp had two full practices a day. I mean, it was 4 or 5 hours of on field, you know, in pads, full contact kind of practices. And, you know, now there's a lot of like walkthroughs, and they don't have as much full contact time, and the time that they're actually able to do kind of 9-on-7 drills or the goal line, you know, the stuff that the fans really kind of the real football stuff, that has dwindled a lot. So I think, you know, teams don't want to open up to walkthroughs, those sorts of things. They, you know, and then I think the other part of it is that teams are just getting more and more kind of like insular and don't want to be transparent about things and just are very, you know, wanting to keep everything so in-house and maybe give access to your own broadcast, you know, to your own broadcaster, specifically to your VIP season ticket holder or sponsor groups that you feel like you can kind of contain a little bit better. Where, you know, about that time, 2011, and the new CBA. So like I said, the logistics of trying to organize camp when you didn't know when exactly the season was going to be happening because players were locked out. I think that was part of it. The change in the actual structure of camp. And then that was about the time that like social media was like really taking off. And I just remember having like battles, you know, from the reporter side, having battles with PR staff from not just the Broncos when I was covering the Broncos, but around the league, these questions of, well, there's 5,000 fans sitting here and you're telling me that I can't report
take a,
what's going
that
on.
I can't take a picture.
Yeah, I can't take a picture. You know,
we've been I didn't mean to stop you, but you know, I've been going to Giants camp since 2007 and we get the same thing. You know, hey, there's 2,000 people out there putting these pictures on social media and you're telling us we can't take a picture from the sideline?
Right, and they would argue back and say, well, they don't have, you know, Joe Schmo, you know, who's sitting there from, you know, Greeley, Colorado or whatever. Like, he doesn't have the reach that I have. And that's fair. You know, I've, you know, how many over tens of thousands of people would follow my Twitter as opposed to like, you know, his family that's following his 15. But still, if something crazy happens, stuff goes viral. So it's been this very kind of give and take, this evolving nature of like what's allowed, what's not allowed. I mean, I remember, gosh, now I'm trying to think which specific player it was. Something happened with the Patriots and somebody, one of their marquee players kind of got hurt. But the Patriots supporters were kind of all pinned up, you know, kind of off in a corner. They didn't have a good angle on it. And there was some dude who was like sitting in the end, you know, the bleachers behind the end zone and had this like perfect video and it took off. And I can see why some teams would get scared of having that sort of stuff out there. But look, there's so few secrets in the NFL this time, you know, during training camp. You know, they're not doing a ton of scheme stuff. You know, you can do your walkthrough, your installs and stuff during those closed walkthroughs. I still think it's better to open it up to everybody, but it is something that the teams are concerned about in terms of how much information is getting out there.
It's kind of an aside, but you know, having been to, you know, a number of Giants training camps, there is sort of a state secret feel to being around the NFL.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, they get a little worried that, you know, the reporters, you know, the credentialed journals are saying, you know, we might report something that we're not supposed to. But, you know, if a fan is like, Daniel Jones took, you know, 6 extra first team reps today, like that's going to be out there, you know, like I don't know what this whole the state secret kind of stuff, but because most of the people there that are watching it, you know, you really care about the team and you want what's best and you're really excited about what's happening. And yeah, I think if teams are worrying about like their trick plays getting out there because they have 10 open practices, that's really kind of losing the big picture of what can be gained by letting their fans have access to camp.
You know, let's talk about fan access, you know, and you've been to camps with a number, you know, for a number of different teams. Just quickly, you have a couple of, you know, favorite, maybe sort of fan memories, things that you've seen in terms of interactions, you know, as you've been going around the league?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places that still do a really good job. One of my favorite stops is always Browns camp, and they practice at their home facility in Berea, Ohio. But they just do a really good job of kind of making fan zones. The fans have really like good seating, and, you know, and maybe it's starting to change a little bit as the Browns, their fortunes are changing a little bit. But what's so fun about going to Browns camp is that for most of the year, football is very miserable in Cleveland. You know, but this is just this most diehard. They just love the Browns so much. And when you're there in August, they can still have this glimmer of we might be good, you know, and they do a really good job of kind of clinging on to some of that optimism. And they do a lot of good stuff, like a lot of really good outreach for kids and this kind of stuff. And then they have my favorite promotion anywhere around the league during training camp, and that they have a partnership with some of the humane societies locally, you know, that their mascot is the big, Swagger, the big kind of mastiff dog. So they're the dog pound this whole thing. So they actually have adoptable puppies and dogs every day at training camp, and they keep a tally, and hundreds of dogs have been adopted, rescue dogs, through the Browns training camp. So, so I love that. Oxnard is a really cool experience where the Cowboys train. I've been there a number of times. I've been there just for Brown or for Raiders. Excuse me. I've been there just for Cowboys camp, but I've also been there when they've had joint practices where the Raiders have come down. And, that's really fun because you get, you know, kind of these really diehard Raiders fans, a lot of whom still live in the Los Angeles area who come up. You've got Cowboys fans from all over and they're really close. I mean, I was there a couple of years ago when during a joint practice between the Cowboys and Raiders, when, like a fight broke out on the field. Like, you know, these skirmishes happen, the skirmishes happen during these joint practices all the time where you're just so excited to finally hit somebody who's not your own teammate. And there was a fan standing right on the other side of a chain link fence. I mean, a good 3 to 4 feet maybe away from the sideline. And the skirmish like kind of pushed its way out, you know, from the field onto the sidelines and basically up against the fence. And there was a fan there waiting, he was a Raiders fan. I might be getting this wrong now. But like they bring all these memorabilia, you know, stuff that you want to get signed because the players will go around after right after practice and sign for everybody who's waiting against the fence. And a guy brought a helmet to get signed. And there's a player, it was a cornerback from the Raiders, got his helmet ripped off. And the fan, I think it was the Cowboys player got his helmet ripped off. The Raiders fan holding the helmet to get signed swung his helmet into the skirmish. And it was like, oh my God, like, this is insane. Like, it was crazy. I mean, this might not be the best story for advocating for fan access because a fan got in the middle of this, like, training camp fight, but it was just like, it was really cool. I mean, it was crazy. And, you know, the tempers kind of settled down and nobody got injured, but, you know, so this, the Cowboys camp is really cool. You know, obviously I haven't actually been there to see it in person and I would love to do it sometime, but the Packers do a really good job of involving children. You know, they do the bikes, like the kids from the Green Bay area kind of bring their bikes out and then the players get to ride them in to camp. I just love any of these times where they just really make it accessible to the kids because, you know, this is, we talk so much about kind of like the future of the NFL and how, you know, the NFL's outreach and they, you know, they want to go overseas and go to London and, you know, all this kind of stuff, but they really need to be consistently reaching out to young fans. And these are the next generation of NFL fans. And this is such an important time that they can be kind of capturing these kids and these teenagers and making the players relatable and making them more than just kind of fantasy football stat lines. And, you know, the guys that you draft on your app on your phone. And so I love it when they do kind of the autograph sessions that are just for kids or when they bring in, you know, kids from Boys and Girls Club and all of those kind of things. So I think those are the teams that do it best when they really, really make it family and kid friendly.
Well, let's hope that NFL teams continue to try to do that. Lindsay, before I let you go, I have one sort of bone to pick with you a little bit. In a mailbag recently, you actually said that you think the Jets will win a Super Bowl before the Giants will win another Super Bowl.
I know.
Saw that, and I'm not going to let you off the hook without without explaining yourself.
Well, you know, I think I just have questions about what the long-term plan is for the Giants, what their vision is here. I think it's going to become a little bit more clear when we figure out if Daniel Jones is the guy and is going to be the guy for a long time. You know, this offseason has been so confusing from the outside when you look at what the Giants have done in terms of, you know, you want to ship off some veterans, you know, you trade off some big salaries, you trade off some good, you know, from Olivier Vernon to obviously Beckham, but then you sign Golden Tate and it's like, well, what are you rebuilding? Do you think you can win with the roster you have now? It's just been kind of confusing. So, you know, I think with the Jets, I don't think that they're a very good team right now. You know, I think they're still a couple of years away from even contending for a wild card spot. But I think with the Jets, at least you know for sure, okay, this is who the quarterback is going to be. And now they know, I think they made some pretty good hire for with Joe Douglas as their new GM. So it's not to say that I think the Jets are going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon. I think it's just a kind of a statement about the current snapshot of some Giants or overall organizational dysfunction might be the way to say that diplomatically.
We certainly get that. We understand it. There's a lot of Giants fans that would agree with you, but having come across that, Lindsay, I couldn't let you go without making you explain it.
That's fair. I mean, look, I hope Daniel Jones is the right guy. I mean, after all the crap that's been said about him leading up to the draft and since, I'd love to see him succeed. I mean, I think that would be a tremendous story. So, your guys' sake, hopefully they turn around quickly.
There you go. I would like to actually cover some good football for a change.
For sure. You guys deserve it.
So before I let you go, why don't you go ahead and tell people where they can find you on Twitter, to make the subscribe to The Athletic pitch if you want to do that. It seems like every time I have somebody from The Athletic on, I get the subscribe pitch. So
for
go
sure,
right ahead.
Yeah. I mean, subscribe to The Athletic. That's where all of my my writing. I do kind of a lot of feature reporting. I'll be doing a lot of stuff during training camp, obviously. But, you know, mailbags and live chats and all that kind of stuff. And Dan, who covers the Giants, he's really, really good. So hopefully you guys are already following him. But you can follow me on Twitter. It's by Lindsay H. Jones, which is basically just my byline. It's Lindsay with an A. So yeah, by Lindsay H. Jones. And hopefully we'll have some good subscriber deals heading into training camp as well, which I'm pretty sure that'll happen, where you can get, you know, it's like $3 a month. So no ads, you know, podcasts, you get all that good stuff. So read us, follow us. And hopefully, most of my training camp tours that I've done in the past have all been kind of Midwest and West or South. And I am planning an East Coast trip. So hopefully I will make it out to East Rutherford during training camp and see you guys.
All right, Lindsay, thank you very much for spending a little bit of time with me today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. All right, our thanks to Lindsay Jones for spending some time with us. As always, Giants fans, we ask you to please subscribe to Big Blue View Radio and all of your favorite podcast applications. I thank all of the Giants fans who sent their stories and photos to the BigBlueView@gmail.com inbox. All of those that were used in the training camp memories post that we did. All right. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.